Well, every generation likes to tell you how much harder they had it. They had to walk uphill through the snow both directions to get to school or to go to the grocery store or whatever, right? We've all heard those stories. But they did at least have one thing that was easier for them than it is today, and that was retirement planning. We're going to talk all about how things have gotten harder, why are there more challenges for retirees, and how you work through those. Coming up next.
Welcome to the Perfect Game Retirement Podcast with former professional baseball player and now financial coach at Black Oak Asset Management, Ryan Ledman. This show will help you make the right financial decisions so you can pitch a perfect game in retirement. Here's the windup and the delivery.
We're glad to have you inside Perfect Game Retirement. I am Ben George with Ryan Ledman. Ryan, it's always good to talk to you again. How are you today?
Doing pretty well, coming off a flu bug that we were supposed to record last week, and just it would have been terrible to listen to my voice and energy level. So yeah, I had to, but better now. Seems like everybody's kind of gone through it this year, but better now. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm glad you are feeling better. We got a couple good shows we're gonna knock out today with you, should your health hold up. And we're gonna start with this one today on retirement planning being much harder than it used to be. As we go through this, again, reminding you, blackoakam.com, where you'll find everything on the team there at Black Oak Asset Management. But you can always call Ryan at 470-508-0508 as well. But it's so true, though, right? You talk to anybody that's older than you, and I think I'm starting to do it. You probably are maybe doing it too. You talk to the younger kids now about how you just things are so much easier than they were when I was your age.
Yeah, this is the get off my lawn episode. being in the mid-40s now, you do you find yourself telling stories and you're like, oh, kids aren't like they used to, you know, we had it much rougher and blah blah blah. I'm like, oh my god, I'm turning into my father.
Yep.
Which in many regards is great, but you do start telling the stories. I yet to do the walking uphill both ways. I've yet to do that one yet, but there are some stories that I start sharing with my kids, and I try to shut my mouth like, yep, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think like, hey, imagine traveling without a cell phone or any kind of phone. I mean, just ride a car for a little bit and think about what we had to do to keep ourselves entertained. But the list is long and long. But I want to focus today on retirement planning and how things have changed. So let's jump in and kind of start with job stability and company loyalty. This is something that seems to kind of fade away more and more, especially as we move into kind of this gig economy, right? But you know, it was not uncommon for our parents or grandparents to find a job somewhere with a company out of college or out of high school and stick with that company for 30 years, retire, get all the benefits, and retirement planning be pretty easy.
Yeah, and that's my dad. I mentioned him on here before. I mean, he was worked for basically one company. There was a few companies before his long term, but yeah, I mean, had great benefits, still does, has a pension and a private pension. It wasn't a government pension. And then whatever you can save above and beyond that, it's just kind of gravy, if you will. So that those don't happen very often. Do they still happen? Yes, they still do. I have clients who were with a company for a long period of time, some that just have retired and they were with a company for a long period of time. So the job stability thing is just, it's, I don't want to say it's the thing of the past, but it's dwindling. So, you know, staying somewhere for 40 years and getting the gold watch and then being taken care of the rest of your life, just, it doesn't happen. We're living a lot longer. So these pension funds just look at the numbers and they're like, here, take this lump sum and get off our books. We don't want you on our books for that period of time. Plus, you know, now there's people constantly changing jobs where pensions don't exist for the most part. There are a few, but not many. And obviously they're offering 401k matches. And so it's more, the role is more on the employee as opposed to the employer, what it used to be. But now people are changing jobs so much that one, you know, they may not be eligible right away for their 401k. They may have to wait a year, 6 months, whatever it may be. So not only are you not saving for retirement, then there's usually a vesting schedule on company matches. Now, some of them you're fully vested right away, so that is possible. Not all have vesting schedules, but many of them do, especially companies that have high turnover. Like, you know, they don't want to give you a match and then, you know, 2 years later you're gone and you keep it all. No, they take some of that back. So not only maybe did you have to wait, then you have to give up some of your company match that you got. So you've kind of fallen behind a little bit when it comes to that, especially if you change jobs a lot. So the job stability thing and company loyalty is almost gone.
Well, you kind of took me right into the second thing I wanted to talk to you about, because, you know, previous generations didn't have to rely as much on their personal savings because of that. They were able to put in their time at a company, kind of knew that that company would take care of them in retirement. Sure, they probably had saved some money through the years, but it didn't matter if they had a huge nest egg or a huge retirement account that they've been contributing to for their whole life. But that's different now, right? It's much more on us to make sure that we're investing in a way that gets us to retirement.
Yeah. And I think, it does kind of lead into this point. So it is more on the individual. It is more on the employee. Some people will say, yeah, I got a 401k and I do the max. I'm like, what does that mean? Max? Oh, I go up to 6% to get the max contribution from my employer. I'm like, okay, well, that's not the max. Like, your 6% may not equate to what the match is. So if you're under the age of 50 in 2024, you can put up to $23,000. That's the max of what you can put in. Now, you may have to put in a certain amount to get the max employer contribution or the match. Then, okay, that's another story. But that is a 100% no-brainer for those of you out there who have a match. If you're not going up to the match, that's money you were leaving on the table that you should capture. Whether or not you think you're going to be there for a while, you may be there longer than you anticipate, even if you think your window is short, like, oh, I got to give some of this match back. Well, you're still saving your money, which is great. Capture as much as the match that you can. But that's also why you need to try to do supplemental savings on your own. Some people say, oh, I'm doing 15% in my 401k. Well, can you do more? Well, yeah. Outside of it, okay, whether that's a Roth IRA or a brokerage account. So you need to do supplemental savings on the outside as well, because again, if you give that match up, that's just less money that you get to roll over one day, either to an IRA or to a new 401k plan. So I do think there's going to be a little bit of and I hate using the word crisis. I do think there's going to be a retirement pinch for Generation X people, because everything does cost a ton. We live in these, high lifestyles of, cars costing $100,000 in a blink of an eye. Housing costs are way up. It's just inflation's up. So that's just pinching more of what our retirement savings can be. So I do think people are potentially going to be working longer because there may not be that big of a nest egg or enough of a nest egg to retire how they want to.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's going to be a lot of people coming to that realization sometime in their late 40s, early 50s, right? That man, mm-hmm. I don't have enough saved. I thought things were easier than this. Why am I not in a better position, right? That if you haven't been preparing for a little bit longer maybe than usual, especially for previous generations, you're going to find yourself in that pinch. It's not a very far-fetched concept.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I do. I think there's going to be an issue with it, and I'm right there in the middle of that Generation X. So I do think I'm actually on the latter half of X going into Generation Y, but I'm technically still in that Generation X. So I'm in my mid-40s, and you do see people that are just, maybe starting out or have a little bit, and you're like, oof, man, you gotta kick it into gear.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, going through some ways in which retirement planning is harder than it used to be. If you have questions, blackoakam.com. Well, not only do we have to save more, where do we put our money is another question that's harder to answer now, because things were much simpler before, and there's so many different investment options that are out there now. It's not just some savings accounts, some stocks and bonds. You have ETFs, you got ESG investments, you've got crypto, you've got, well, you name it, Ryan, and you can put your money into it. It's just so much more difficult to even know how to invest.
Yeah, and that's, there's my biased opinion of, okay, there's where you may need some help. Some people don't, but there is such a wide landscape of things, products, vehicles, tools, whatever to invest in. And you're right, it can get overwhelming. So the pros on this is people can do this on their own. They don't have to pay an advisor. They don't have to pay anyone. They can go direct. They can do this. They can do this. But also the downside of that is it's accessible, but information is not the problem. Information is absolutely everywhere. So it's almost paralyzing for some people. When you have too much information, too much this, too many investment options, it's paralysis. They don't know, they're analyzing too much, and then they're paralyzed and they don't make a decision. So not making a decision is making a decision. So that's where, if you do need outside help, whether again with us or some other advisory firm out there, to make heads or tails of this. So that's where a lot of hiring an advisor is, being a planner, an educator, an investment advisor. It's not just, oh, what are your rates of return? Anybody who wants just an advisor for a rate of return, it's not going to be a good fit both ways. So you need someone who is a planner, who can navigate the landscape of this stuff, who can navigate the constant changing laws, tax law, different types of accounts. Those change, especially with the Secure Act 2.0. Those things are constantly changing. So there's just so much to know and do. Now, if someone just needs to go in and buy an S&P 500 fund and just let it ride forever, you don't need an advisor. But you know, that's not the people that we're looking for from a client standpoint. So the investment landscape is way more complex than it used to be.
Yeah, there's just, again, it's sifting through that information, right? As you said, there's plenty of it out there, but what's right? What should I be listening to? What should I not be listening to? Yeah, it's pretty tough. All right, we've got a couple more I want to run by you here, and let's go to healthcare, because this one is a clear difference than it was before. These numbers, I mean, you don't go back 15 years and it's much more expensive than it was even then. So where's it even going to go in the future? No one really knows too. And will it slow down? That's another question. So how do you prepare, and how do you put yourself in a position to take care of these healthcare costs that just continue to soar?
Yeah, it is probably the people are most aware of this, because they may have a firsthand experience of a parent who has gone through this, or someone they know, someone they love. But it is the hardest thing to talk about. I think people like talking about life insurance more than they like talking about trying to deal with health care costs and the chances. Now, of course, all of us are going to die. But when it comes to life insurance, not everybody may need a life insurance policy as they get older. But we're going to incur some sort of healthcare cost. Some are more than others. Some need more care, more intensive care, longer care, because our physical bodies, our physical shells are staying healthy longer, but our minds are not. So you have to be cognizant of this stuff. You have to be talking about it. You have to be aware of it, that healthcare is going to be a cost somewhere. You can't just put your head in the sand and ignore it. But you're right. I mean, I first got into this industry with more of a insurance-based type company in the quote-unquote financial services industry. And even that landscape, and I've been in the business 12 years, that landscape has changed immensely. And some of the products, some of the long-term care policies that we used to sell back then are extinct. Like, they do not exist anymore, the types that we used to sell. And we tell people, if you have those, keep them. My goodness, they're not on the market anymore. So it's just amazing how quickly that area has changed. Now, just because you mentioned healthcare costs does not mean everybody needs to go to get a long-term care policy. They're still out there. They're expensive. There's not many carriers that write them anymore, but they're still out there. But there may be other means and other ways to be aware of those things and to save for them. I mean, healthcare costs could be a whole episode in itself, but you got to be aware of it and you got to talk about it.
Yep. You have to be prepared for it. And it's tough to know what's going to happen, which makes it even more difficult. So let's shift to the sandwich generation. Another thing that's kind of become more common now than it ever used to be. I don't know how many people were in this situation 30 or 40 years ago, but you know, we find ourselves, many retirees now, having to take care of both their aging parents and their children as they get older and maybe don't have a steady income, or you know, things are more expensive now. They need to rely on their parents a little bit longer, whatever it is. It's pretty tough to get into retirement, Ryan, when you're having to support multiple generations.
Yeah, and this is probably the most prevalent thing I deal with my client base, because of my average client age is around 54, 55 years old. And they're the ones dealing with the most, because you kind of have two things going on at once. You have the parents, the baby boomer generation, living longer, much longer than previous generations. But at the same time, you also have my generation who had kids later. And I'm kind of one of those individuals who had kids later in life. So you have this one side is living longer. The other side had kids later. So then they have kids at home longer. And then also you have more kids living at home once they're done with school. Once they're done with college, they move back into their parents' house. So you do have these two things going on at once. And, you know, those 50-ish year olds are aptly named. They're sandwiched right in between their kids and their parents, and looking to navigate those waters of where do I put my parents and how do I get my kids out of the house as quickly as possible? So it is a, in your 50s, those generally speaking, that's your highest income earning year. So you need to be socking money away like crazy to give you the option to the work life option in retirement. Because some people don't want to retire. Some people still want to work some, but at least gives them an option to scale back, maybe help their parents, maybe help them find a facility and a home. And there's companies out there that help people find a place for their parents to be. I have a dear friend of mine who does that. So anytime people are like, I know where to begin, I'm like, here, talk to this person. They can navigate that stuff instead of you just hopping in the car and going, you know, from facility to facility and trying to figure out which one's best for you. So that sandwich generation, it's tough on them, no doubt.
All right, last one I have for you here. It was easier to achieve financial literacy. And you might think, well, wait a second. We just talked about how there's so much information. We got the internet at our fingertips. We can find anything we want to. But the reason why it was easier is because you didn't have to know as much. You just needed to know the basics of savings, how to rely on your pension, maybe your Social Security. You didn't have to know very many intricacies. But things are different now. It takes a lot more to be caught up on the financial landscape today than it ever did.
Yeah, like we mentioned before, I mean, just the investment options. And you know, if someone 20 years ago mentioned the word crypto, they'd be like, what in the world is that person talking about? Yeah. I have no idea what they're even discussing. So, yeah, because of, I mean, internet and being able to look up things, search things is great. But at the same time, it's, like I said before, it's paralyzing too. So just understanding the constant changes in tax law, because those change constantly, the new types of accounts that could be opened up. There's new account types that we'll open this year. You know, talking about Roth SEP IRAs and Roth simple IRAs, those things have never existed before. So that stuff is constantly changing. If you're not constantly being tuned into that, you may be like, oh, I didn't even know they offered that. Well, they do, or they will sometime this year. So the achieving financial literacy, one, it needs to start at the school level. I think our schools do a disservice to our kids. I tried to teach it when I was an economics teacher in high school and teaching the principles of Dave Ramsey's, you know, baby steps and teaching them those things. But it's amazing how many schools don't have education and stuff like that, where it's financial literacy. It's, you know, how to select health insurance plans, company benefits, how to open this, how to do this. Kids just don't know unless their parents are educating them. So I do think it falls on the parents, but I do think our education system does a disservice to our kids to prevent that financial literacy. And then they're doing Google searches, and then they think that's getting financial advice or financial knowledge. And what you may find online is maybe not a fit even for what you're trying to do. So achieving financial literacy, it's very difficult. Even though it's just a click of a button away, it's very difficult in the same regard.
Yep, sure is. Well, all this is just another reminder that it is important that you work with someone like Ryan, a president and financial coach, a retirement income certified professional at Black Oak Asset Management, and one you can find online at blackoakam.com. And again, having this help and the support and the guidance to get you through these different challenges and obstacles that, you know, get in the way for a lot of people getting to retirement. And it doesn't matter, you know, kind of what age you are, the earlier you can start, the better. So again, if you have questions for Ryan and the team, 470-508-0508. All right, let's jump into the mailbag. I got a question from Rose, who's actually in Austin, Texas, and says, it seems like every time I need to make a financial decision, I just end up talking myself in circles. For example, I have some tech stocks that I think I should sell, but I'll have to pay taxes if I do. Or another example, the investments in my 401k are probably too risky for my age, but I don't want to miss out on a good market by being too conservative. So how do I stop talking in a circle and never making a decision?
Well, I mean, tee it up for me, Rose. so, I mean, that's why you should work with someone, because of that very reason. It's the financial coach. It's the financial teacher, if you will. I know our labels have, you know, financial advisor, and mine is a certified financial planner. And so there are labels, if you will, in our industry, but essentially we are teachers still. And I take that from my background when I was a teacher. So this is where talking to another person will hopefully prevent some of those circles you're doing around yourself, Rose. So bouncing ideas off people. And sometimes it's just like having a trainer or, you know, a personal trainer or someone who does lessons. If you got kids who do, you know, sports lessons or whatever, it's getting someone to nudge someone in the right direction. And sometimes we just need that accountability. We need someone just to say, hey, do this. You're like, okay. And sometimes it's just that easy, but it's easy to talk ourselves out of that if we are telling ourselves that. Sometimes we just need that nudge. So Rose, we'll talk with you, but you know, you're in Austin, Texas. If you want to talk to someone local, I'm sure you can find plenty of advisors there. But yeah, I would definitely at least sit down and talk with someone to see if there's a personality fit and a philosophical fit with this stuff. So you want to take an advisor that has that kind of teacher approach.
And Ryan, remind me, you do work with people that are outside of that Atlanta area, correct?
We do. We have clients in tons of different states as far as California. So yeah, we do work with people in other states.
Okay, very good. Well, again, blackoakam.com, where you can call Rose 470-508-0508. All right, let's close it out with a little getting to know you question. Ryan, here's a good one for you. This would be fun. Love to see your answer to this one. But what fictional character, rather, would you like to hang out with for a day?
This is a good one. So obviously the list is, it could be endless. I'm more of a nonfiction guy, so this is more of a historical fiction. Because kind of based on true-ish characters, but it's not a real character. But Maximus from Gladiator.
Dude,
love to hang out with that dude. Was it Maximus Decimus Meridius, I think was his full name. That's funny, but yeah. Obviously known short for Maximus. But that movie's in my top five of all time. So it was either that or Captain Miller from, you know, Saving Private Ryan. One of those two would be great to sit down with.
Yeah, those are two good characters. I thought you didn't know if you might go superhero potentially as well. There's a lot of different ways you could go and take that, but that's a pretty cool one. All right, Ryan, well, we'll get out of here, let you rest up your voice a little bit. We appreciate your time as always, and we appreciate you listening to Perfect Game Retirement. Please hit subscribe wherever you listen. That helps us continue to grow the show. And if you have questions for Ryan, again, 470-508-0508.
The Perfect Game Retirement Podcast is brought to you by Black Oak Asset Management, serving the greater Atlanta area with offices in Alpharetta and Macon. The show is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Perfect Game Retirement to find us. You can also visit blackoakam.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Ryan Ledden, and to learn more about how to pitch a perfect game in retirement.
Information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Please consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Securities and registered investment advisory services offered through Silver Oak Securities, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC. Black Oak Asset Management and Silver Oak Securities, Inc. are not affiliated.